But again this morning, I'm reminded of little sister Johnson. She was in her 80s, and she had just had been to the dentist and got a new set of dentures. And the dentures were causing her great discomfort. So much so that she was unable to eat her favorite snack, which was peanut M&Ms. And you can imagine what that was like, you know, trying to chew up those peanuts. So she thought about it for a moment. She said, well, what I can do, I can put the peanut M&Ms in my mouth, and I can, you know, melt the chocolate, because they melt in your mouth, not in your hand, right? And I can eat the chocolate, and I'll spit the peanuts out, and that'll work. And so that's what she did. Well, her local preacher wanted to come by and visit her, because he knew that she was in pain, and he came by to visit her one morning, and she asked him, would you like something to drink? And he said, certainly. She went out to the kitchen, and while she was gone to the kitchen, her preacher saw a bowl of peanuts sitting on her coffee table. And he thought, wow, I really like peanuts. And so he grabbed him a handful, ate them up, grabbed another handful, ate them up. And when she came back in, he said to her, those are the best peanuts I have ever eaten in my life. And it was then that she revealed to him the truth of the matter. You see, in her mind, eating those peanuts was a giant task. It was very difficult for her, and it was monumental for her to overcome. But her preacher helped her, did he not? But I want to read to you some words this morning from a song called Greater by Mercy Me. Bring your tired and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You'll always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's all right. Bring your doubts, God says, and bring your fears. Bring your hurt, bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here, because you're holy, you are righteous, and you are redeemed. And every time I fall, there'll be those that will call me a mistake. But that's okay, because I hear a voice that calls me redeemed. And while others, I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than those who are living in the world. Greater is the one living inside of me than those who are living in the world. He is greater. He is greater. Today, if you face challenges in your life, I want you to know you're not the Lone Ranger. We all do. We all face some giants, some struggles that seem overwhelming and gigantic in our day. The giants we face today may be unemployment, may be abandonment, may be sexual abuse, depression, bills, grades, whiskey, pornography, a career, a mistake, grief, or a future. And all those instances in our lives are very unique to us. We may share many of those things in common, but the way you feel about it, the way I feel about it, may be two totally different things. For instance, I understand and I am well acquainted with the giant of divorce. I know what that's like. I've been there. And it's been a struggle in my life. My wife knows what it's like to deal with the struggle of losing a husband at a young age in a tragic way, unexpectedly. We know what that's like. But even though we understand what that's like, and you may be experiencing those same things, they're unique to you, and they may seem like gigantic problems in your life. But here's the good news. The Bible teaches us that God has answers for our real-life giant struggles. We must face the giants of our lives. We must. We must do what God has asked us to do. Because you see, it's not the size of the giant that's important. It's our perception of that giant. It's how we look at those things in our minds. For instance, remember when Moses, in the book of Numbers, he sent 12 men out to spy the land of Canaan. Remember that? And when those 12 men came back, 10 of them had this to say in this next verse. They said, we have explored the land, and those who live in it are devouring people. All the people we saw there are of great size. In other words, they said, there are giants in this land. These are giants that we are unable to overcome. They're too big, strong, they're too powerful, and we can't do it. But on the other hand, there were two other guys. Remember them? Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. These two guys had a totally different perception and outlook about this situation. They had a totally different report. In the book of Numbers, you see what they had to say. Caleb quieted the crowd and said, let us go up at once and occupy the land, because we are well able to overcome it. Do not fear the people of the land, Caleb said, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What was the difference? What was the difference? Well, see, Joshua and Caleb said, yes, the people are big. They're huge. But you know what they said? God is bigger. God is bigger. He is able. God can do anything. He can overcome any giant that's in our life. You see, both groups saw the same giants, saw this seemingly overwhelming task, but the only difference was their perspective and their focus. One group focused on the size of their enemy, while the other group focused on the size of their God. They focused on the size of their God and knew that they could do it. Let me ask you this morning. Could it be that your perspective is keeping you out of your promised land? Is that possible? Is it possible that today the way you're looking at things are keeping you from the promised land that God has promised you? I understand challenges. I've had them and you've had them. And they seem impossible sometimes. You see, you say to yourself, I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to get healthy again. I'm never going to realize my dreams. But just like the Israelites, when you think like that, your wrong perspective can keep you from becoming all that God created you to be. Because you see, on what you focus, you magnify. On what we clearly focus on, we tend to magnify in our lives. You see, if you stay focused on your problems long enough, or what you don't have, or how it'll never work out for you, all you're going to do is make that problem bigger than it really is. But you see, when you magnify something, remember, you're not actually changing its size. You are simply changing your perception of it. And that's why David said this. David said in Psalm chapter 34, verse 3, get the clicker to work. There we go. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You see, David, in his battle that he saw upcoming in the text that was read for you today, David saw a challenge. He had a big time giant in front of him. But he chose, rather than to magnify the giant, he magnified the Lord. He magnified God. He made God bigger. He said, if you want to make something bigger, don't make your problems bigger. Don't make the medical report bigger. Don't make the opposition bigger. Learn instead, David said, to make God bigger. I'm not sitting here today to tell you that's easy. I'm not going to say it's not going to take some work and some effort on your part. Because to be a Christian does take effort. It does take some work on your part. But I believe that we can make our God bigger, and all the while our giants will become smaller. Remember when David faced Goliath? He never talked about it. I don't know if you ever noticed this. David never said one time, look over there at that giant. He never did. He never called Goliath a giant, even though everyone else did. Everyone else talked about his mammoth size, his big muscles, his experience in being a warrior. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, here's what David said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? He didn't call him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine, which was a huge insult in that day. He wasn't afraid of Goliath. He never gave Goliath credit for being that big. And that's the key in our lives. You see, David didn't deny it. He just didn't dwell on it. His attitude was this. Are you ready? If I'm going to magnify anything, I'm going to magnify the source of my strength. I'm talking about God's greatness. I'm not focusing on how big my problems are, but I'm focusing on how big my God is. And I believe it was that focus, that magnification of God, that allowed David to slay this huge giant that everyone else was afraid of. You see, when David told his brothers and the king that he wanted to fight Goliath, they said, "You can't fight him. You're crazy. You're just a little kid. You're too small. You have no experience. You don't even have a chance against the Shaquille O'Neal of the battlefield." That's King James, by the way. What odds did David really have against this giant? Really, seriously. A little 17-year-old kid, some say, against this mammoth 9.5-foot giant. What odds did he have? Well, perhaps David had better odds than you give yourself against your giant. You see, your Goliath doesn't carry a sword or a shield. Your Goliath perhaps brandishes blades of unemployment, abandonment, grief, sexual abuse, or depression. Your giant walks through your office, through your classroom, through your bedroom, even in your mind. And that giant in your life brings bills you can't pay, grades you can't make, people you can't please, alcohol and drugs you can't resist, pornography that you can't refuse, grief you seemingly can't overcome, a job you can't escape, a past you can't shake, and a future you can't embrace. That's the kind of giants we're facing today, and I get it. But I want you to see that David had a totally different perspective. And it's a perspective that we all need. And here it is. Are you ready? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that today, church? Do you believe it? If God is for us, who can be against us? I know in a crowd this size, there's some serious problems going on. There's some big time giants that are being faced. But I want you to know that God is for us. He is for us. And if that's the case, and it is, no one can stand against you. No one. No struggle, no giant can stand against you. Because David knew what Paul knew in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength does not come from within ourselves. Our strength comes from the power of God Almighty. The same power that created this universe. The same power that created you in this life. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead on that third day. That's the kind of power we're talking about. It's not a little bit of power. It's big time power. And we need to stand in His might. Rely upon His strength to overcome the giants that we're facing. The bottom line was, David knew he wasn't alone in the battle. And you know what? You're not either. I totally understand that sometimes you feel like you are. You feel like you're totally alone. Nobody understands what it's like to be you. Nobody understands the struggles that you're going through. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, your Savior, He knows. And God, your Father, knows. And you are not alone in the battles and the giants that you're facing today. Oh yeah, they tried to warn him. They said, David, be careful. You're going to get hurt out there. Goliath is too big to hit. But no, David said, no, Goliath is too big to miss. He's too big to miss. In fact, here's what David had to say. David said to the Philistine, you came to me today with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you to me, and I will strike you down, cut off your head. I will give a dead body to the Philistines, to the birds of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel today. And that's exactly what happened. You know what? The birds did not go hungry that night. They didn't. They had a feast. But you see what David is doing here? David is magnifying God. He's talking about God's goodness. He's talking about God's power. He's talking about God's strength. This teenage boy who seemingly had no chance against this giant of a man won the battle because God. That's because David had the right perspective. David saw God's power and he was able because God is able. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible tells us this, do not in any way be terrified by your adversaries. In other words, don't be intimidated by your enemies. Because today you may be like David, I get it, up against a giant right now. You may be up against a giant of debt or a giant of sickness or a giant legal problem. Something so big that it looks impossible to defeat. And you could easily be overwhelmed and say, I don't have a chance. You're going to throw in the towel. You're going to give up. But all the while, God is saying, don't be intimidated. Those who are for you are greater than those who are against you, just like we've sung today. Put your shoulders back, put your head up high. You're not weak, you're not defeated, you're not powerless. You are a child of the Most High God. Remember that. You are anointed, you are equipped, and you are well able. So don't shrink back in the battle and think, it's just too big for me. It's been this way for too long, and there's no way it's going to change. My house is never going to sell. I'm never going to find a job. I'm never going to break this addiction. I'm never going to realize my dreams. And this reminds me of the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul gives us a similar idea. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. And we are struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because their treasure was somewhere else. The treasure was not here on this earth. It was treasure they laid up for themselves in heaven, the Corinthians taught, and Paul believed. So do as David did, my friends. Do as David did and get a new perspective. Get a new perspective. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it is possible and is achievable. When you feel overwhelmed by the battles of life, you don't need a new God. Your new husband or wife. You need a new church. You may not even need a new job. What you do need, however, is a new perspective, a new way of looking at things, a new outlook that's God-centered rather than giant-centered. You just need to remember the greatest force in the universe is in your corner. He is. He is. And that's, and there's no challenge too tough for you, no enemy too big for you, no sickness too great to steal your joy, and no dream too far off. We mentioned this verse earlier. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for greater is He who is in you than he who is living in the world. That's a wonderful promise. We serve the greatest being in the universe, and there's nothing that's impossible for Him. Nothing too hard that He can't overcome if you'll just let Him. If you'll have the perseverance and the faith, and let Him help you in your times when you're facing the giants. The same almighty power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Also, I want you to consider this. This is a neat fact. You know, the enemy, the devil, would not be fighting against you so hard if he didn't know that God has something great in store for you. You ever thought about that? You see, I have found that the size of your challenge, the size of your giant, directly correlates with the size of your future. The size of your giant directly correlates with the size of your future. If you're facing a great challenge right now, don't be discouraged. Because that just means that God has something great in store for you. Something amazing up in front of you. He has a new level for your destiny. If you believe that, if you don't believe that, rather just ask Joshua and Caleb. When they came back with their report, 2 out of 12, the minority, that wasn't the end for them, was it? It was just the beginning. It was after they that God gave them victory after victory after victory. They overwhelmingly destroyed the enemies of God. Why? Because of their great faith and because they had the right perspective. And what about David? What made David king material? What was it that, you know, he's a teenager. What made David king material? You know what it was? It was Goliath. No one had ever heard of David before that except for his family. But after he killed Goliath, what was the song they were singing? Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. It was the slaying of Goliath that put David on the map and that finally led him to the kingship of the nation of Israel. So when you face great difficulties, my friends, believe this. It's because God wants to take you and make something greater out of your life. He wants to take you to a higher level. Just like Joshua, and just like Joseph, rather, in the book of Genesis, what his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. And what someone may mean for evil in your life right now, I want you to trust that God will eventually bring it about for your good. There's no giant that can defeat you. The giant is there to promote you. That's what it says in Exodus about ancient Israel. Remember that? The more they were oppressed, in the Israelites, the more they did what? They increased. They grew stronger the more they were oppressed. So when you face adversity and you get depressed, don't shake your fist at God and say, God, why is this happening to me? No, our attitude should be this. I know this opposition is a sign of strength and blessings are headed my way. It may look like a setback right now, but it's really a setup. It will not be a stumbling block to take me down. God will use this as a stepping stone to take me up. Which leads me to my favorite verse in all of Scriptures. One upon which I have relied in the darkest of times. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Do we believe it? I mean, we either believe it or we don't. All things, not just some things, but all things. Even the worst of times in our lives, the Bible says, if you're in Christ, if you're following His will, all things will work together for your good. And I get it. Sometimes it's hard to see it when you're going through that valley. It's difficult to see it when you're facing that giant and you can't see past it. But I believe it. I'm living proof of it. That God will keep His promises. And all things will work together for your good. It may take a year. It may take 10 years. It may take a lifetime. But eventually God will work it out for your good. Just like David, we need an attitude of victory about us. I love Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where the Bible says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think or imagine, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, forever and ever. Amen and amen." You know, the struggle we have is the perception that people have about us sometimes, right? Have you ever thought about why the church isn't growing like we like for it to? The church here at Creekwood, the church universal? Well, perhaps it's because when people outside of the church hear us talk, you know what they hear? They hear us bellyache. They hear us groan and moan and complain about how terrible our life is, about all the struggles we're going through, just like the rest of the world does, right? They hear us talk about how big our problems are, and seldom, if ever, do we talk about how big our God is. Seldom, if ever, do they hear us talk about how God has overcome the challenges in our life because of our faith. We need to do more of that. I absolutely love the way David responded to Goliath when the giant was laughing and making fun of him for being so small. Do you remember that? Remember Goliath? Here comes little David out to Goliath, and Goliath says, "What? I mean, am I a dog that you come out to me with a stick?" In other words, he says, "Is this the best you've got? I mean, is this the royal best you have?" I just saw, and I know this is weird, but I just saw a documentary the other night about one of my favorite wrestlers, Andre the Giant. And he really was a giant. And when he died, they said he was 7'5", 550 pounds. He was a mountain of a man. Well, that's what we're doing. It's talking like we're going to send a little child in to fight Andre the Giant. And who's going to win? Andre, of course, but not in this case. David knew that God was on his side. David looked him square in the eye, remember, and he said, "This day I will defeat you. I will feed your body to the birds of the air." That's pretty bold. Now notice what David did not say. David didn't say, "Well, I hope so. It might happen." He didn't even say, "Well, I've been praying about that." David said with confidence, with boldness, and with faith, "I will defeat you. Not by my power, but by the power of the God of the armies of Israel whom I serve." And God didn't just give a victory that day, did he? He gave what I like to call an overwhelming victory. Now one might read, I'll agree with you on this, one might read David's story and wonder what God saw in him. You know, the fellow fell as often as he stood, didn't he? He stumbled as often as he conquered. He stared down Goliath, for instance, but yet he ogled at Bathsheba. He defied God's mockers in the valley, but then he joined them in the wilderness. One day he was an Eagle Scout. The other day he was chumming with the mafia. You know, he could lead armies, the Bible says, but he couldn't even manage his family. Raging David, weeping David, bloodthirsty, God hungry, 8 wives, 1 God. But here's the beauty of the story about David. Acts 13 and verse 22 reminds us that even though David did all these terrible things, he was still a man after God's own heart. Can you believe that? This guy? That God saw him as such should give hope to us all. See, David's life has little to offer the unstained saints. Straight A souls, you know, will find David's story disappointing. But the rest of us, if you're like me, you find David's story reassuring. Because we all ride the same roller coaster. We alternate between swan dives and belly flops. In David's good moments, he was the best and no one was better. But in his bad moments, could anyone possibly be worse? The heart God loved was a checkered one with a checkered past. But I believe today we need David's story because giants are lurking in our neighborhoods. You know that? Giants like rejection and failure, revenge, remorse. The giants, we must face them. But here's the beauty of the message today. You don't have to face your giants alone. We must first focus on God, and the giants will fall. When we don't, the giants will prevail. I heard once a story about a little boy who was having a struggle with a bully down the street in his neighborhood. He was afraid to go talk to him and try to stand up to him. Well, one day, the boy's father bought him a telescope, and he was playing with the telescope in the yard one day, and he turned the telescope around the wrong way, looking through the big end, and he was looking down the street at that bully. His dad came out and said, "Well, son, you need to turn it around because if you turn it around, you'll see it'll work like it's supposed to. Things will get bigger." He said, "No, Dad, I've got it. I understand. But when I look at the bully this way, he doesn't seem very big at all. In fact, he seems very small. And I'm not very afraid of him anymore. You know, perhaps in our lives, we need to turn the telescope around. You know what I mean? We've magnified our problems long enough. We've let the enemy get bigger and bigger long enough. We've thought about how impossible the task is long enough. But if you'll turn it around, and you'll see it from the right perspective, you'll realize that's nothing for God. That bully is nothing for God. That giant is nothing for God. That struggle you're going through is nothing for God. Because all he has to do is breathe in your direction. After all, remember 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that God has put all things under our feet through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And you need to envision that in your life. To see every obstacle, every sickness, every temptation, every bad habit as being under your feet through the power of Jesus Christ. Those things are no match for God. They're not permanent. We need to understand that if we stick with it and we have faith that God will see us through. What does 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 tell us? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can do it. We can be more powerful than we ever thought. But what we got to do in our lives, though, we got to shake off the lies. We got to get rid of the lies. I'm talking about the lies of Satan, the lies of those who work for him. They'll tell you all day long, it's too big. You can't handle it. You've had this problem too long. It's never going to change. Well, do we believe the scriptures? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the scriptures tell us. I know that's a very familiar verse, but do we believe it or not? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I believe that. It's not because of me, but it's because of Jesus. And because of him, I can overcome any giant. This should be a new day for all of us. We need to start listening to God and taking his word on the matter. Because he said there's nothing that can separate you from his love. You know that? Nothing can separate you from his love. Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything that's been created. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. God is giving us an overwhelming victory over our enemies, over our giants. If we'll just trust in him, there's nothing, no enemy, no obstacle, no injustice that can defeat you unless you let it. The giants can qualify you and promote you if you'll let them, if you use them as stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks. Remember what David said in Psalm 59, verse 10? Psalm 59, verse 10, David said that I will look down in triumph on my enemies. How was David able to look down in triumph on his enemies? Because he knew that all of his enemies were under his feet. And your enemies are under your feet too. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Isaiah had to remind God's people in the Old Testament, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Just like we sang earlier. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. But I want you to understand that challenges will come. Isaiah never said that you're not going to have struggles. That's not practical in any day. But God said the problem may form, but you can stay in peace and faith knowing that it won't prosper against you. It won't defeat you unless you let it. And it can't even steal your joy. That's because you belong to God. You belong to him. And because you dwell in God, he's put a hedge of mercy and love and protection around you. And the only way the enemy can get in is if you open the gate. That's it. If you let him in, no enemy can stop God's plan for your life. No enemy. And let me tell you something. I know there's been a lot to say about God's plan for one's life. I'm going to tell you right now, God's plan for your life and for my life and the life of every person that's ever lived, you know what? It's the same. The same thing. It's that all might come to repentance and be saved. That's the plan for God. That's it. And all of us will walk hand in hand through those pearly gates that we read about in the book of Revelation, walk the streets that are like gold, and we'll stand forever and ever praising God our Father. That's God's plan for your life. I don't believe God cares about anything else. He doesn't really care about the kind of job you have. He really doesn't. I know people worry about that. And I think whatever job we do, you know what? If you do it to the glory of God, he's okay with that. And so on and so forth. But God's plan for your life and the lives of every person living is the same. That we all come to repentance. That we all face the giant through his power and his strength. and give ourselves up, surrender our lives to Jesus. I really believe that all the forces of darkness cannot keep you from your spiritual destiny unless you decide to give it all up. Unless you decide, I'm going to turn my back on the cross and I'm going to walk away from the Lord. I know in our lives it seems like bad news is ruling, doesn't it? Seems like the bad guys are winning. But you know what? We've got to stand firm like Joshua did long ago. You know what Joshua said? When the bad guys seemed like they were winning, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, right? We're going to serve God no matter what. The medical report may look bad, but God will either deliver me from death or deliver me by death. Either way, I win. I win. Because God has me in the palm of His hand, and nothing can snatch me away. Nothing can take me. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That no one, apart from your will, keep you away from God. No one can do it. So today, as I close up, I want to challenge you to do several things. Determine, first of all, to keep the right perspective about the problems of your life. Secondly, I want you to determine to live a victorious life through the power of Jesus Christ. Third, I want you to determine that you're going today to have a sincere faith in God who has promised to guide us through the battlefields of life and share that faith with the lost. I want to challenge you also, don't be intimidated by the enemy, even when it looks like the enemy is winning. Declare this to be a new day in your spiritual journey and watch the tide of the battle begin to turn. Stop telling God how big your giant is and start telling your giant how big your God is. Amen? Because when we focus on giants, we stumble. But when we focus on giants, the giants tumble, my friends. And it's all because we serve a God who is greater. A few years ago, a movie came out called The War Room. I don't know how many of you have seen that movie. But in the movie The War Room, Miss Clara is a believer in God. And she is a huge believer in the power of God that we can access through prayer. In fact, so much so, she has a room and a little closet in her house set aside for nothing but prayer. In fact, she's got notes all over the wall. It's like wallpaper, but notes where she has written her prayers down, where she's praying for this individual and for that individual. And in the movie, she comes across a young lady who's having family problems, who's having struggles with money, who's having struggles with so many things, contemplating divorce. And Miss Clara prays and prays and prays. And of course, at the end of the movie, divorce is not an option. God intervenes and saves that family. But at the very end of the movie, I want you to hear what Miss Clara said. And I want to challenge you with these words because they're very powerful. Miss Clara says, "You've done it again, Lord. Done it again. You are good. You are mighty. And you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me even though I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus, because you are Lord. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up more that will love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and that will stand upon your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you will open their eyes so that they can see that you are the truth and you are Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation that will take the light into the world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will never cower, Lord, even when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship with their whole hearts. Lord, Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim that you and you alone are Lord of lords and King of kings. I pray these things with all my heart," she says. "Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up." I want to ask you today, are you ready for God to raise you up? You've been holding on to that struggle too long. That giant has been glaring, staring you down for way too long. Are you ready to let God raise you up? He wants to do it today so much more than you can possibly imagine, because it is in Him. He has the power to do immeasurably more than we ask, think, or imagine. He can save you no matter what you have done, no matter how bad you think you are. And He can do that if you'll come in simple trusting faith, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. He'll raise you up to a new place you never thought you could go. He'll wash away your sins in the watery grave of baptism. Perhaps you're struggling today and you're already a Christian and you need the prayers of this church. You need God to forgive you again. Oh, I pray. And I beg you, if I have to beg, I'll do it. But today will be your day that you'll face your giants and let God show you His power. Because His power is greater and He is greater. Can we help you? Come as we together we stand and as we sing.